should do it. We get part two of our one from what we did this morning. We did sin versus sins, and we're just looking at there is a difference. And we're not talking about sinning. Christ took care of sin. You know, I think about it. We sing the song, the hymn, Jesus Paid It All, and people just don't realize that He really did pay it all. And I said this before, but we recognize it that much more. He took care of the law, Romans 10:3, for righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And then you go back and you start finding verses like this that says, I had it there a second ago, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So he just didn't take care of our sins. He took care of sin, which then takes care of our sins. Which is why we have a judgment seat of Christ coming up. He still has to judge our works. He still has to judge what we've done. But it's not being judged as sins, because for those that believeth, it says there, there is no law, so there is no transgression. So that's how we took care of sins. There's another one here. It's another one of my favorite verses here along that line. It's in 7, I think it is here. Now it says in 5:13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. There's another one. So you start looking at these verses slowly, and you kind of put them together a little bit, and you see an absolutely marvelous thing that people don't really want to, I guess they don't want to grasp. We're past all that sin. It's not an issue anymore, because He took care of sin. Took care of the law, which took care of sin, which takes care of our sins. I'll say it again. The things that we do will now go through the judgment seat of Christ. So it is about our works. But it isn't our works for salvation. It's our works for reward and for judgment seat. That's all it's about. So we went through that this morning, and tonight we just kind of finished out a part. We had kind of left aside a few more verses to look at for tonight. So let's go. Let's go back to where we left off, Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And I hope it made sense to people this morning. It's a big thing to take care of. And when we don't do something right, it still blows your testimony. It still causes us to reap things that we don't want to reap if necessary. Some things we reap now, some things we'll reap in the judgment seat. We get so bothered, but it's not about sin. Christ took care of sin. You don't hear that in the churches, which is really too bad. Anyway, Romans chapter 8, verse 10, we ended up with that verse, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. See, the sin is still in our body. We still have that flesh to deal with, which is what we went through in Romans chapter 7. It's still there. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? His righteousness. Then he tells us in Romans 12, just a thought here, just tells us in Romans 12, he says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, which is tough to do when our body, our physical body, is dead because of sin. But we still have to live in this life, in this body still. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's our mind. So Paul said in Romans 7, his mind wants to serve the law of God. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. So we still can be taken captive by the sin that's in our body, our flesh. He says, O wretched man that I am. This is even Paul. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So it's still there, but Christ took care of the law. Christ didn't stop people from sinning. He said in the Gospels, you know, with that verse here, he says in John, he says, go and sin no more to somebody, to that lady. And he says, in another one here, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So yes, during the Gospels and during the tribulation, they better stop sinning. But during this time, he took out the law, and there is no sin, there's no transgression, and there's nothing to be applied to us except good or bad works. And Paul is the builder. So Christ takes care of everything by taking care of the law, and then we just build upon that foundation. And everybody wants to do what the world does for our building, and it makes everybody happier, it makes everybody feel better, brings people together better, and, you know, the music is, the list just goes on and on and on. And our judgment seat of Christ is what it's all about. Following Paul, Romans 2:16, Jesus Christ will be the judge, but he used Paul's gospel. What Paul says will be our, what will be judged on. And people just, they struggle and fight that whole thing. Christians struggle and fight that whole thing. They still think we should stop sinning. And we should stop doing some the bad things. But it's in our body, it's in our flesh. Paul couldn't stop sinning. And yet he had joy and he had peace. So what's with that? Okay. Okay. So now let's go back here. Romans 14. Let's go to another one here. Romans 14, 23. And I think this one is important to understand Paul when we realize what is faith and that we're living by his faith and our faith. In Galatians 2, it talks about we have faith in Christ. We receive the faith of Christ. And this might help you understand a little bit more what this verse says. And he says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Now, this is talking about those that are weak in the faith. That we don't need to cause these people to stumble, because they don't know all this stuff as such. He says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Well, we're living by faith. We're living by his faith. So we don't have to worry about is sin. But people who are not of the faith and people who don't understand these things and don't understand their salvation, don't have the salvation here, they're living a life not of faith. So they have sin. They have the law. That's the law. That's not faith. That's the law. And if you think, yeah, then it is sin. But that's not to us. Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34, says, to awake to righteousness and sin not. Okay, that would be talking about sinning. But we understand by what Paul taught us that we're not capable of that situation. So he's telling people to awake to righteousness, his righteousness. These people have not the knowledge of God. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. That is our shame that they don't know what they need to know. And yet, when you try to tell somebody, we all know the reaction to that thing. And maybe it's because of how I said things or how we say things or maybe we don't quite have it. And how does that, what does that do to folks, you know? First Corinthians, look at down to 56, verse 56. 1 Corinthians 15, 56 says, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that amazing? I mean, but now we understand where this is coming from. He says in verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. How do we have the victory? He got rid of the law which took care of sin. So the strength of sin is the law. He got rid of the law. Sin doesn't exist. In our flesh. Okay, now here's a real big verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. This shows the sacrificial aspect of what Christ had to do. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. We know that isn't us who knew no sin, that was him. So he was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we are the righteousness of God, our soul, not our flesh. But again, the flesh has to go through the judgment seat of Christ, our works, before we can be whole, perfect. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. So, all under sin. It's like it's a noun in itself. Sin. It isn't just sins, it's sin. Let's check it out, Galatians 3:22 here. That whole series in there. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe, 3:22. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith, but after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Yet in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, being a peacemaker makes you the child of God. So we know there's a difference there in those two teachings. So, maybe we get a better grasp of sin and sins here today. Now, here's a pretty good verse. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. And this is a tough one. This is even tough for teachers, for a teacher, because we are so taught not to do this. 1 Timothy 5:20, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. So there is a point that Paul does say, there's some time that the people that are sinning, they have sin, them that sin would be a lost person, they need to be rebuked before all, that others also may fear. But we know today that people just mock and they laugh. The Bible says there will be mockers and things. So, you know, you put this in the classroom, or you do this within your family. Them that sin, rebuke before all, and you shame them. Well, we can't handle that today, that others also may fear. Everybody is pretty much ready to... Gentiles are just about up a creek without the paddle here pretty soon. That's kind of where we're headed with all this stuff. Okay, so those were just some finish-up verses from this morning. But now I wanted to spend a few minutes here, and let's go through some of the verses in the tribulational books, and you'll see what's being taught today, for example. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 18 talks about remission. It says, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. We're just looking at remission. We look at 10:26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. I mean, Hebrews is very clear that you can lose your salvation and never get it back. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Here's a classic verse that you've heard many times. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, so as our mom and dad watching us, are there angels standing around? Is there an angel that comes in and helps us? That kind of a thing. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Well, now, wait a minute. Sin has been set aside. It's been dealt with. How? By no longer the law. So there's no way this verse is written to us. And let us run with patience. That's works. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So their whole key is the race that they're in during the tribulation. And there's going to be a sin that's going to bother them more than others. And we understand that. We all have different things that bother. Alcohol doesn't bother me at all. I've never been drinking. I've never been a drunk. I've never let it kill me. But I despise religion. I despise modern religion. Would it beset me? We all have different things that are our weakness and our challenge. But we got to remember that's in our flesh. We follow our flesh. We can't lay it aside. It's in our flesh. Christ took it aside. Took all of it aside. Not just sins, but he took sin. So that isn't written to us at all. Now here's a great one. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. You ever heard anybody tell you to plead the blood? You can't stop doing something, so you need to plead the blood. This is the only place they get that from. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. In the tribulation, they're going to have to stop doing things. They're going to have to just stop. They get the opportunity, 1 John 1:9, to confess their sins, and he'll forgive them, but still, they have to stop doing these things, and they're going to have to, you have not yet resisted unto blood. I don't even see where they say, plead the blood. But this is where they get it from. You're striving against sin. So it doesn't do us any good to plead the blood to stop doing something. Read your book. Read your Bible. Pray hard. Look for the strength. Strength is in His grace. Strength is in His words. And pleading the blood never did anything for me when I heard about it. Let's look here at look at James chapter 2, verse 9. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin. Well, there we go. See, now, let's go back and let's remember about the law. Let's remember what He did for sin. Let's remember what's not imputed, and we are His righteous, that whole thing. Well, that can't possibly be applied to us. Aren't you glad? Because don't we have respect to persons? Don't we trust? Don't we treat other people differently, depending on some reason or another? But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay, well, we know it's not sin. It's not an issue for us. But still, we can still learn from that. We can still read the whole Bible and realize, you know, there's some things that we should do that we should do that we don't. And we know that that's wrong. So, you know, we still read the whole Bible. We still learn from everything. Does that mean we need to try to do? No. But it helps us understand the battle we have with our own flesh. Here's another one, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, okay, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Maybe that's why these people down in foreign countries, in Philippines, get on do the crucifixion, nails in the hands and the whole thing. They think that they can do what he did and it'll cleanse them from their sins. That's pretty wild. That's terribly wild, actually. 1 John, here we get into 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But that's based on walking in the light. That's based on works. If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's not what Paul teaches. Then verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We don't say we have no sin. We don't say we stopped sinning, except for the fact because Christ took care of the law, which took care of sin, which then we're not sinning anymore because where there is no law, there is no transgression, etc., etc. But the sin is still in us. Romans chapter 7. So yeah, we have sin. It's in us. But we're separated from it. So that's not, we're not saying we have no sin. The sin is in my flesh. And Christ has taken care of that for me, my soul. I'll say it again, like I repeat things 15 times. The judgment seat of Christ will take care of our flesh and the works we do while we're still on this earth. That's our building blocks. That's what Paul teaches us. All we're getting out of Paul is the fact that we know what to do to please God, and it isn't for salvation, it isn't to stop sinning, it's just these are the things because of what Christ has done. Oh, just amazes me. And then they can confess it in the next verse. We see that 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Well, he's not writing that to me. Because, again, Christ took care of the law. Christ took care of sin. So we can't sin. We follow our flesh, which is sin. It's the sin that's doing it. It's the sin that's within, he says there. And it's our works that will be judged. We do wrong, based on Paul's teachings. But they combine this verse, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, this is going to sound strange, I guess, but we don't need Jesus Christ to be your advocate today, because we're not sinning. The judgment seat of Christ will take care of those things that we're doing wrong. I'm not talking like a Seventh Adventist. They believe they stop sinning. They believe they stop. They don't talk about Christ took care of the law, which took care of sin, which took care of the sinning terminology as such, and the judgment seat of Christ. They don't believe that. They think they've actually, they're walking that daily holy life. That's just because they don't go to church on Sunday. They go on Saturday. That's weird. But that's the way it is. So we talk about having a need and an advocate because you did something wrong today. No. That, again, misusing, that's wrongly dividing the scriptures, misusing the term. During the tribulation, they will need Jesus Christ to be their advocate. First John chapter 3, verse 4. "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law, except Christ took care of the law." For today, for the Gentile, for the dispensation of grace. 1 John 3:8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. "He that committeth sin is of the devil." So if you have done anything wrong as far as a, and we want to call it a sin and say, I did sin yesterday or whatever, then you're of the devil. "For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God is manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Tribulation. Look at verse 9. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." Now, could that be applied to the way Paul teaches it? You'd be stretching it, but he says, "For seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." But when you look at all the context of all these books, they're talking about sinning. So whosoever is born of God does not sin, does not commit sins, is not doing sinning. Because he's born of God. So during those days, when they sin, they're going to have to confess it because all of a sudden they're no longer born of God. No longer born again in John chapter 3. That's why we realize that we don't use the phrase born again. That's a gospel and a tribulation term. And people that believe today, because they're born again, those people that believe in being born again, most of them actually believe they can lose their salvation. But I always say this, you've heard me say this, if somebody is born again and they lose their salvation, but then they get baptized afterwards and the whole thing when they get saved, so then they lose their salvation because of sin, they're no longer born of God, they confess their sins and they're forgiven at the altar, why don't they get baptized again? So, this thing's to pop in a conversation with somebody that makes them kind of hee-haw and kind of wiggle and squirm and then drop it because they're not going to go anywhere with it, but you never know. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it." So then they try to wiggle around this thing by saying, well, that sin unto death, you know, that's sinning against the Holy Spirit. Unforgive, you can't be forgiven. That's because you don't trust Christ to be your Savior. It doesn't say that anywhere. That's just trying to take a verse that's in the wrong dispensation, trying to apply it to today and trying to wiggle around it and make it fit. And that doesn't work. That's just not what it is. Verse 17, "All unrighteousness is sin." But see, he took care of the law, so there is no righteousness and unrighteousness. It says in Romans 10:3, which I can't quote by memory and make sure I get it right. Let's do it when we're finished with this. I'm sorry, it's going to be short. But I hope that we sit around and we think about this thing about what we talked about today. Romans 10:3, I mean, he says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness." And 1 John 5:17 says, "All unrighteousness is sin." And he took care of the law. It's the end of the law. So put all that together from this morning and tonight. And if you weren't there for this morning, you still got time to pop it on for tonight and get that first part of that thing down. The difference between sin and sinning. Sins. The law, how important the whole thing about what Christ did regarding the law. Why he had to fulfill the law in the Old Testament during the gospel days. And so why teach out of the gospels something that wasn't even fulfilled yet? But yes, we still need to realize that we have a judgment seat of Christ coming up. 1 Corinthians 3, 9, 10, 11, 12. We need to still do the right thing. But it's not about sinning. Sin is taken care of. Sin is in our flesh. We follow our flesh. We're choosing to follow sin. But it's going to just burn in the judgment seat of Christ. It's the sin that is in us that makes us do that. We understand the struggle that Paul has in Romans chapter 7. And Paul, same thing. Now, like I said, none of what Paul did wrong is mentioned in the Scriptures. Well, why not? Because it wasn't imputed to him. Why talk about it? People just, it's a pride thing. People can't imagine that we could make that kind of a claim. That's because we make those kind of claims. Look at what Bible-believing, Paul-following Christians are doing. Look at what they do publicly. They are conforming to the world. So why? And they look at it, well, see, you say that you have no sin then, da-da-da-da, because you think you're not doing anything bad. And they put the whole thing on you because they see you doing, they see us doing things that they're taught that it's wrong. We have the liberty. There is, all things are lawful. But it sure causes people to stumble, and they don't want what we have. And I guess they don't know what we have. Do we know what we have? It's our time to study sin and sins and sinning and the law. And Romans is a fantastic book to get a grasp on. But Timothy and Titus is still the verses that tell us how to please God and how will get us through the judgment seat of Christ. So we still need to do the right thing based on Paul's teachings. But when we mess up, it's the sin that we fall. Sin that dwells in us. He's what did it. Get up and get going. Because Christ didn't register anything against us. Not imputed to us. All things are lawful. Keep going. You're just working up for a judgment seat session. So there you go, folks. I'll leave it at that. And you can meditate on that stuff today and think about it. Look at some more verses. We didn't cover them all naturally. Just hope that made a point. Romans 5 through 8 is still something to read when your mind is fresh and you want to just see that concrete set some more. Just read 5, 6, 7, 8 slowly and just soak in what Christ really did. When he said, when we sing he paid it all, he really paid it all. And that should change our life, but it just doesn't. We're still too busy letting our flesh conform us to the world because our mind gives in. We give in to people around us. We give in to the pressure. We give in to our flesh. We give in to the sin that's in us. We will. We're not going to stop doing that. We're going to back off, but we're not going to stop. Judgment seat of Christ will take care of it finally. There you go. We'll leave it at that tonight.